Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody, and today is our last episode of June, which is finishing up our awesome time travel movies. As I told you last week, which I'm pretty positive I did, this week's film is a movie called Synchronicity. It's from 2015. It is a science fiction movie. It's time travel, so obviously it's science fiction, as of right now. Lesser known movie, much like some of the other movies that were, or two, Looper was a pretty big one. Deja Vu was a pretty big one because it, you know, major stars and stuff, but, Primer and Synchronicity are my, indies that I bookended the month with. But anyhow, so, Synchronicity is a movie, that was written and directed by Jacob Gentry. Jacob Gentry, for those who don't know, which is going to be most of you, is lesser known. He's not, he doesn't have a huge, list of movies he's done. What actually drew me to his work, besides the fact that the trailer for this was really solid and I saw who made it, which made me really think about it. He made a movie back in 2007, called The Signal. Now, if you go to look this up, there are, it's a trilogy movie, or a trilogy, anthology movie. There's three parts to it. He directed the second part, which is called The Jealousy Monster. And I'll go into this again later on another time, because it's a interesting movie. But it's kind of like, The Ring and, a lot of those movies where something happens and it makes you go do crazy stuff. Pretty interesting movie. But anyways, you check that out too if you like, good psychological horror stuff. It's a good one. And not to be confused with the 2014 movie, The Signal, which is not the same movie and it's not a remake. It is a whole lot different than this movie, but anyways, not that one. There's one from 2007, multiple directors. Jacob Gentry is the main one. The other two are good too. But they're, that's not the one we're talking about today. But, Jacob wrote, directed, and edited the movie. In the movie, there are a couple actors that don't have any credits to their name. One is Chad McKnight, and the other one is Scott Poythress. I think his name is. They play. There's only five characters in the entire movie. So I'm gonna go through the cast list pretty quickly here. So you have Chad Knight, who plays Jim. You have Scott, who plays Matt. You have AJ Bowen, who plays Chuck. You have Brianna Davis, who plays Abby. And you have Michael Ironside, who plays Klaus Mesner. Michael Ironside is not in it a whole lot. He's I would say, a cameo at the best. As for the other people, AJ Bowen, he was in The Signal. He was in the segment that Jacob directed. This is where they kind of met up. And then of course later on, he did this movie, Synchronicity. He's done a few movies. I don't think he's done anything that you guys are really going to know, very well. He's done a bunch of things. It's nothing crazy. A lot of horror stuff. A lot of, suspense stuff too. He was in a movie called You're Next, which is a really good one, really good horror movie. So, you know, check that one. It's AJ Bowen. You have Brianna Davis. She's done a bunch of stuff. Nothing you're really going to really go like, oh, yeah, her. She's done a bunch of TV shows. Nothing, no mainstay stuff. She looks familiar if you see her. You've probably seen her around and stuff. And he goes with Michael Ironside, who's been in so many things, it's hard to even go through the list. Starship Troopers, he was the voice of Sam Fisher in the Splinter Cell games. He played one of the voices in Command & Conquer 3? I should probably look this up. He was in Highlander 2. He was in one of the Terminator movies. What other good ones? He's been in a lot of things. Michael Ironside. You'd know him if you saw him. You know, that sort of stuff. But yeah, that's the cast for you, the cast and crew, I guess, really. So basically this is one of those non-traditional time travel movies, but one of those ones it's more of a much like Primer, it's more of a thinking movie, and then more or less of a moral stance, or it has moral stance stuff in it, but it's less of a plot driven movie like Looper and or not plot driven, story driven plot like Looper and Deja Vu are. And much similar to way Primer works. Very similar even in aspect, but a lot different in execution. So basically you have a couple, you have a physicist and his two partners. So you have Jim and you have Chuck and Matt. So Jim is the brains behind it, and then Chuck and Matt are basically their colleagues. They help him with his experiments, and so they basically design a machine that can open a wormhole they can use for time travel. So they're basically trying to find investors to help them build this machine. They have a proof of concept, and it's essentially a wormhole that will basically let you travel to the same place in time. So you travel through the wormhole and you travel back or forward through time, depending on the polarity of it, I believe it was. But they only have the money to run it in one direction right now. So they're trying to get funding from rich people to buy into it so they can get more money and more capital to, you know, do the experiment better. So the machine operates by creating one half of the wormhole. I'm reading the description of what it is. During one run, the other half during a second run. In addition, the process is expensive and dangerous. To advocate the process requires radioactive material and a bunch of money, because you need to pay for power and stuff. The radioactive material they've been using is coming from a company who's actually owned by Michael Ironside's character, Klaus Messner. So they bring him in to help, A, reduce the cost of the usage of the radioactive material, and also, because he has lots of money, to help them fund it. So the process is very dangerous. They don't have any of it. It's all done by hand. Well, not by bare hand, because it's radioactive material, but you have to wear a suit. So there's a dangerous portion of it, because if you mishandle the radioactive material, you can kill them all, you terribly, and the rest all the way other. So what they do is the first step they use is they take a genetically created dahlia flower from the wormhole. Beale cannot prove his invention actually works without the material for the second test. So they basically have this flower that came to them that they need to prove is the one they had. So they need a second test. So Messner comes to him and he demands 50% of the ownership of the process in exchange for the material. But he gets 49%. The second test is scheduled for one week after the first one. So shortly after the first test, Jim meets Abby, who seems to know too much about him and the meeting to be any kind of coincidence. He believes that she's been staged by Messner to figure out what's going on, and basically, I think, stop it is really what his main thing is. But he has this animal attraction to her. She's very gorgeous. He's very suspicious, though. And he confirms with Chuck over a phone call and tells Jim that Abby is not to be trusted and that the test has succeeded much more than they thought. So Jim leaves Abby because they were at her apartment. He goes back to the lab. Chuck refuses to explain. So later, Jim ignores his suspicions and starts a relationship with Abby. They discover a deep bond, which is broken when Chuck's warning is confirmed, Abby tells Mesner about the flower. Mesner threatens Jim, and with knowledge of the flower, intellectual property of the company who made it, which happens to be Mesner's company. So Mesner extorts Jim for another 50% ownership of Veal's research, leaving Jim with only 1%. So now knowing this, he is downtrodden. He's heartbroken. He can't think clearly. During the second test, Jim jumps into the wormhole that transports him 1 week into the past to the time of the first test. It is seen from the first test, and I wanted to wait for this point, that there is this, that Chuck saw this shadow go across the footage when the flower appears. He originally believes that it was originally Abby who was staging the whole thing so they could basically trick Jim into falling for it with the flower, basically losing the percentage to Mesner as so he owns 99% of it and Jim is stuck with the 1%. Well, because of this, Jim is convinced that on his second run he can outwit Mesner and Abby and prevent his research from falling into their hands. He succeeds. He seduces Abby, but soon learns that she was honestly attracted to him, and a science writer herself, which is a pretty cool moment in the thing where he confronts her about it, and she shows him that this she has these writings that she's been doing where she's been working on something similar to it, and that she's actually kind of using Mesner to do the same thing Jim was doing, but obviously with a more sexy time involved. You find out that she's actually just as attracted to him as he is to her, which to Jim is awesome, but also is disturbing because she betrayed him even though she had these feelings for him. So Jim then basically reads a fictional story but finds that it's both somewhat it's somewhat inaccurate and representation of his work and is unfinished. So he believes in she's been stealing from him directly, which again is not great for his self-esteem and everything. The complications come during the second run. Jim is physically weakened by experiences pain when he's too close proximity to Jim Prime, who is the Jim from the past that he goes back to. So if he gets too close, he starts suffering full body aches and mind bending headaches. So basically, he has to before he jumps into the wormhole, he reveals himself to Chuck and Matt, who do a bunch of tests on him to realize that he's not the Jim they know, the Jim they've been dealing with. So they help him run behind the scenes because Jim knows where he goes. They don't. So they kind of work together to distract Jim Prime so they never run into each other. And try to help him because he tells him what's going to go on is like, you're going to get tricked into using this flower as evidence. Ends up being the intellectual property of Mesner. And he's going to end up using that to steal their technology and their research and everything. So, let me see if I get this correctly. So after revealing himself to Chuck and Matt, and securing their help to protect the research, they both assist Jim and to conceal his presence from Jim Prime. So Beal versus Jim Prime, explaining several confusing interactions in the week before the second test. So they know where and when Jim Prime's going to be, so they can help stop the push of the flower. And then of course the second test being it's not a failure, but like the nail in the coffin, I guess you could say. So during so Beale the from the past or from the future starts growingly increasingly jealous of Jim because he gets to spend time with Abby before Abby reveals herself as being, you know, scum of the earth liar. But Jim Prime is still suspicious of Abby because he doesn't know the truth yet. And it's clear that he has nothing, that he will have nothing to do with her after the second test and her betrayal. Well, hopefully they can be changed by future Jim helping out. So Beale helping out behind the scenes to Jim Prime. So A, they can save the research, and B, he can prove that it's not actually Abby's intention fully to steal from them. So as this goes on, Beale becomes more weakened. He encounters Abby's journal again, this time in Matt's hands, and is confused. So in the first timeline, he was at Abby's apartment. Matt says he found it in Jim's coat pocket when he came to the came out of the wormhole. The journal is now subtly different and makes it clear that Beale has jumped not back in time, but into a past of a parallel universe slightly differed from the one he left. So he's in a different timeline because of the events that he's already changed. So it's a different, it's a parallel universe, but in the same time flow. Does that make sense to everybody? So he goes back to the same week, but in a different run because he's now changed, altered things already going forward. So slight inconsistencies in Beale has not noticed that in the timeline, in his timeline, that's explained because of the changes he made going back and obviously being in a different parallel universe. Chuck says that it's impossible for two Beals to exist in the same universe. So the second run, Beale will die and only Jim Prime will remain. So Beale enlists Chuck and Matt's help in making an unscheduled wormhole to send him to the past with his new knowledge to try to prevent the research from being stolen. So he then formulates the plan to go back again, even though in a weakened state, to try to reset all the changes he made so he can stop them from stealing it. Basically never meeting Abby, never being seduced by Abby, and never letting Mesner take any control of the project. It's the whole plan, right? So you get that. That's pretty solid, right? That's how it's going to work now. That's what it thinks. So with the help of Matt and Chuck making the secondary wormhole to send him to the past with all this new knowledge, a mistake is made in the process, preventing the time jump and wasting a radioactive material. So the date of the second test arrives. Beale finds another time-displaced Jim dead in the hotel room after trying to leave the city. He returns to the Grand Hotel where he sees Abby's apparent betrayal was to get more material to make a second test happen to send Jim Prime away and save Beale's life. The second test happens as before, but when Abby returns to the Grand Hotel, Beale is already dead. After Abby is alone in a cafe when Jim Prime, apparently healthy, sits down across from her, Jim reveals a deep attraction to Abby and introduces himself. Abby acknowledges his similarly appearance and physical physicist John Bain, whom she is writing a novel about. However, as far as she knew, John Bain was killed in a devastating explosion in his lab. The unspoken implication is that Jim Prime would not wither away like Beale did as he entered a universe with no Jim present. Let me explain that for the people who don't get it. Because it's time travel, but it's also jumping in parallel universes. So the one that Jim ends up in, is not gonna wither away like the other Jim did, because he's in a universe where that Jim is dead. Because she's writing a story about a guy who she's calling John Bain, who was killed in an explosion, which is what they worried about the first times when they're talking about, hey, if we mishandle this, it could kill us. Well, in that timeline, in that parallel universe, that Jim did die. She's writing it as a fictional character named John Bane. That's why her writing is very similar to Jim's, but isn't unfinished because he never died in that timeline. In this timeline, that Jim did die, so there isn't a second Jim to worry about taking the mask. Because if you remember, or not remember, you know, the same mask can't be present at the same time. It's a very big time travel thing. So they say if you time travel, you can never go back to a time where you exist because there can't be two of you because your molecules and your atoms are the same because the universe has to have the same amount of atoms no matter what. And the thought process of this is if he goes back to a time a week ago in a universe that Jim has already died in, he is the only Jim, which means he won't die rapidly like the other Jims did. But also he can then have this relationship with Abby because there's no interference of Mesner using her against Jim to steal the research. Boom. Time travel parallel universe movie. It's super fun to watch, and it's one of those things where you really have to pay attention to what's going on because there's these repeating scenes of like him reading the notebook and the notebook ending up in different places because what you finally realize is the reason the notebook is showing me in different places is because it's a different notebook from a different parallel universe, and it goes when Jim takes it and it shows up in his pocket. The reason he finds another one is because that's a different one from a different Abby in a different parallel universe. It's really cool the way they do it. So you really have to pay attention. It took me like 3 full views of the movie to really grasp all of it visually after I knew about it. It's a very, really fun movie to watch and experience. So I highly recommend it if you like, again, less plot heavy, more science fiction-y. But real fun, like just like Primer was a real like head scratcher, and like you don't really get it until the very end, and really you don't get it at all until you watch the whole thing like multiple times because it has so much craziness going on it, and the story is super. I don't want to say convoluted; it is convoluted in a way, but very dense in what's happening, and it all takes place in a very small amount of time. Very low budget movie, by the way. The 5 actors in it, 4 of them really. Michael Ironside's in maybe 5 scenes, and he has like a handful of lines. But really fun movie to watch if you guys want to watch it. And I butchered a lot of it because I don't like to tell it, and I don't like to ruin everything and spoil stuff. So there's little things I left out, but for most part, I nailed all the big points to it. It's just fun movie to watch. Speaking of fun movies to watch, it's also time travel movies. This week's plug. If you guys watch listen to the main podcast with Joe and Mike, Comes Naturally, you'll know we've had a couple guests on before by the name of Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. Also, if you've recently listened to any of the shows, their newest movie, The Endless, hit theaters earlier this year in a nationwide release, actually worldwide release, really, because it's released in overseas too. That movie has just recently been released on digital as well as Blu-ray and DVD, wherever those are sold. So iTunes, you can get it on, I think it's on, pretty much every digital platform you can imagine. It's also available, like I said, DVD and Blu-ray. You can buy it, online from Amazon. If you have some Best Buys, I know Carrie, the one I got, that Joe grabbed me today while he was at work. They only had like 2 copies in, so like there's not a whole lot out there. But if you want it, digital obviously is the easiest way to get it. If you want a cool, if you're big into physical media, the I don't know if it's a limited run, but the I know the first run of the Blu-rays come with a foil box. It's all shiny and has their amazing poster on it. If you've never seen that, but check it out. Real quick pitch for the movie, besides the fact that I recommend it, because it's awesome. So it's written, directed, edited, and starred by Justin and Aaron. They play brothers who at an early age escape from a suicide cult or death cult, to later find out that those people are still there. And oddly enough, as they eventually get drugged back in from a tape that they receive, yes, a tape, a cassette tape, that they have to find a VCR to play it on, That's this message that from this woman they knew from then, basically explaining what's going on. So, being that they got it, this new tape, Aaron convinces Justin, his older brother, to just go back for a visit just to see him and see what's going on, because he misses the... They're very down on their luck, and they live less than paycheck to paycheck. And so Justin eventually agrees to go back, and then they find out that what you slowly start to realize is the people that they live with at the camp there have stopped aging. And so the whole movie is them basically them trudging through of why this has happened. It's a really cool movie. It's one of those movies you really have to pay attention to what people are saying, what's happening in the background, what the characters are doing, because there's a lot of repeat stuff, time travel stuff, but not really to the end, but it's really cool. Very interesting movie, but I highly recommend you check it out. It's called The Endless. It's brand new. It's on on iTunes, it's on the front page under recent discoveries, because that's where I got mine. But it's also, if you just search The Endless, it's from 2018. You'll see it. I think it's listed as 2018. Might be listed as 2017 because it came out last year in some of the festivals, but released in theaters in 18. So you'll be able to find it. But The Endless by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. Highly recommend checking it out because it's super awesome. I don't really have anything new to talk about that I've read this week. I read one of the newer or the next in line of the Space Team books. Like I said, I've been punching through because there's like 9 of them or things or something like that. So I'm halfway through, a little over halfway through. They're super fun books. I do highly recommend if you like fun sci-fi books. They're pretty fun and really hilarious. I slacked on my comic book reading this week. Even though I bought a bunch, I didn't read anything because I've been working on the other stuff. And but that's really it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. Again, we finished up our month of awesome time travel movies, where we talked about Primer, Looper, Deja Vu, and Synchronicity. Those are the ones, and then a little bit about The Endless as well, which is a time travel movie, but I didn't really go into that because it's too new. I didn't want to spoil too much of it for you guys. We'll talk about it another time when I do another theme. I'm sure I'll be able to find something to do with those. I have been thinking about doing a series of movies made by duos. There's a bunch out there. I don't want to spoil what it is, but I'm sure The Endless, I'll do groups of them so you know a couple of different movies they've done. But I'm going to do Justin and Aaron's movies as part of that. Probably in the near future. But next month, I'm going to let you know the theme now. I'm going to be doing video games. Someone gave me the idea for June to do video games because of E3, but I wanted to wait to see what E3 had in store, which did help a lot because there's a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about. But I'll be doing awesome video games. And I'm thinking about doing awesome video game franchises. Maybe not. I'm going to decide here in the next few days or so, and you'll hear about them next week. Next month's episodes will all be around awesome video games. And there'll be classic ones as well as newer ones in there too. And that's what I'm thinking about doing, franchises, so you can hear about some of my favorites. But that's it for this week's episode. As usual, let's stay awesome.